We are looking at the many facets of Jesus. He is the multifaceted one. We love the gentle shepherd, nice aspects of Jesus, but we need to take the whole Christ into consideration. So important. I mean, even in the Passover lamb, they said, eat the whole lamb, no leftovers. Eat the whole lamb. And we want to look at all of Jesus and really recognize what some people see as the mean sides, the mean aspects of Jesus, but of course we know there is no mean aspect of Jesus. Hebrews 1:3 says, Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. And all, I just want to say, in my old age and forgetfulness, I just want to thank you all for the birthday wishes too that you... I turned 60 a few days ago, and Thursday. And I really love you all, appreciate all the well wishes, and it's good. God is good. So Jesus is the perfect representation. Hebrews 1:3, there we go. Hebrews 1:3, the exact perfect representation of God the Father. If you want to know about God, in the invisible God that we know and love, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus starting right here. Get to know Jesus, and you will know God, the invisible God the Father. And so we're looking at the seven I Ams of John, because we're talking about Jesus. It's the focus that we've been on since this whole shutdown and all this, because Jesus changes everything. He's the game changer. Looking at the seven I Ams, Jesus declared himself, he talked about himself using natural metaphors, things that describe his relationship to us and to the world. And so we've already spoken on a few of them. Paul, Karen spoke on Jesus as the light of the world. And so we jumped ahead a little bit, and then I decided I'm just going to do the seven I Ams, and we're going to take a few weeks. And so I'm going to touch on the light of the world because it's right before the one I'm going to do today. But we talked about the bread of life. Jesus miraculously fed the 5,000. And I think it's a picture of Jesus helping people. So there's seven of them, and the first is the bread of, I am the bread of life. And it was to show that there's natural bread, but I'm the spiritual bread. There's natural bread that nourishes and sustains you. I am the one who spiritually sustains you, provides for you, nourishes you. You need the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. And then he says, I'm the light of the world. And it's in the context of he healed a blind man who couldn't see, a blind man who was in darkness. And in that context, in that setting, he said, I am the light of the world. I give light where there's darkness. And so he's going from us understanding that there's a natural realm, but then there's a spiritual realm, and we need the illumination of Jesus. We need the light of God to understand that supernatural realm, that Jesus and the kingdom of God is all around us. And one of my favorite references, the scripture is so consistent throughout. You can read the Bible and it never, and I'll say again, never contradicts itself. It sounds like it, it might look like it, but when you understand and learn more of the scripture, it never contradicts itself. And one of my favorite Job verses, that there's several verses in the book of Job, but Job 38:1-2, it says, after all this whining about what God did to Job, can you put Job? He says, who is this who darkens? And that word, who is this who darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? It's the first thing God says. He speaks to Job and his friends. After all the pining about, is Job guilty? Is he innocent? And how God works and doesn't work. And God says, who is this who darkens my counsel? And I just love that. And then he goes on in verse 15, says, the wicked are denied their light. The wicked are denied their light. And their upraised arm, curse you, God. Their upraised arm is broken. And God is God. He is the Almighty. And his counsel is perfect. His words are true. And it's referred to as his counsel is light. I just love that. I love the scripture. So Jesus is the light of the world. He brings us out of darkness into His light. And it's a illumination, a revelation. We have to have a supernatural, divine revelation to know that He is the bread of life. And there's a progression in Jesus' seven I Ams. And the third one is what I want to get into today. Jesus said, I am the gate. I am the gate. In John 10, 7, therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. So He's the way into the kingdom. He is the doorway into the kingdom. And we only understand that when we understand that He is the sustainer of all things, the bread of life, and He is the light. His word is illuminates. And He is the way in. And that revelation, it's a work of God, but it's mixed with our free will. We have to understand it's God's work to reveal, but it's our work to receive and believe it. So I want to read seven verses out of John 10, 1 through 7, and then we'll pray. So John 10, 1 says, I tell you the truth, a man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. I just want to say, criminal. Whoever tries to come in another way is a criminal. It's illegal. It's a crime. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him. The watchman, who's the watchman who opens the gate for the shepherd? I believe Jesus is referring to God the Father, opens the way for the shepherd to come in. And the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they'll never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they don't recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I am the gate. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I'm going to go through verse 10. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Can everyone say, will be saved?
Will be saved.
Whoever enters through Jesus will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, and that's alive, and it matters right now to us and our lives right here in Faribault, Minnesota in 2020. Lord, thank you for the timeless truth of your word, and I just pray you'd bless our understanding. Illuminate us, Lord, with understanding from your word. I pray that you would strengthen our convictions about you being the gate. Just bless our time now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first point I want to make in all this is, number one, Jesus calls his own by name. He knows your name. He knows the name of all those who put their trust in him. And he calls you by name. He knows the names of all the stars, because the scripture says he named them all. Do you know how many stars there are? Any fifth grader here, homeschooler, know how many stars there are? Can you take a guess? Take a stab at it? God knows. That's perfectly right. See? Let's give him a hand. Way to go. That's right. Way to go, Kai. God knows. Here's the number that I found. Of course, Google, so it has to be true, right? 1 billion trillion. 1 billion trillion, and that is, that's in the observable universe. That's their estimate, in the observable universe. Hunter? What?
Too many to count.
Too many for us to count. Too many for any human to count. But God not only knows how many there are, he's called them all by name. So do you think he knows the names of the finite number of people that have ever been? I think he knows every name of everyone who has come to him. My wife and I struggled to name five kids. You know, that was kind of a, it's like, okay, what's left? What's left? But God knows our names. And it's a big deal because and I appreciate note takers. Partially, I like to take notes as I'm listening because it just helps me remember. Well, God knows our names, and one way he helps himself to remember is he writes them down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation 20:15 says, if anyone's name was not found written in the Book of Life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. I mean, that's a big deal. That's important that God knows our names, those that put their trust in him. And he also says to those who endure, because it's not easy to walk by faith. It's not easy to trust Jesus all through your life, at work, at home, with family members who don't necessarily agree with you, with coworkers who don't necessarily agree with you for some reason. It's easy and accepted and socially acceptable to bash Christians, but no one else. Don't bash anyone else. But it's okay to bash people who believe in God. It's not easy. I'm just saying it's hard. There's lots of challenges. It's a tough way to live. But there's lots of thieves and robbers offering lots of false hope. And that's why Jesus uses some pretty strong terms. And they just flat out lie about God and his promises. But God says to those who overcome, those who endure, those who stick with him to the end. Remember I said the biggest word in the Bible is the word if. IF, if you endure, if you hold steadfast, if you remain in me, if there's promises and you will reap a great eternal reward. Revelation 3:5 says, to those who overcome, I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Jesus will defend you by name before his Father and his angels, the heavenly host of angels, as you endure and stay the course with Christ. By name, not just, hey, those people, that group down in Faribault, or what's that state again, Minnesota, yeah, those, no. Jesus is defending Meg and Tony and Bill and Norma and Rochelle and Tim. He will defend you by name before the Father and before the angels. I could name most of all your names in here. But you get it. He calls his own by name and leads them out. He calls his sheep by name and leads them. It's just an indicator of the relationship God wants and has with his own. When Abraham had that knife up and was about to sacrifice Isaac, his son, what did God say? Hey, you, with a knife. No. He said, Abraham, Abraham, don't harm the boy. Don't lay a hand on the boy. And Abraham, you hear your name, you stop. You learn in a relationship. When Moses was walking by and he sees this bush on fire, and out of the bush he heard, Moses, Moses, take your sandals off. Where you stand is holy ground. And it gets his attention. It got his attention. His name being called out. So many times in the scripture where God changed the name. Jacob, you are no longer be called Jacob. Your name is Israel. And over, Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, but you are Peter. And so there's a big deal made about names in the scripture. That's why I say when you're parents of young children, toddlers, teach your kids to respond to their name. And I even go so far as to say, make it a big deal when they're one and two and three, that when you say their name, they turn and know that you're serious. And I say, give them candy, give them treats, give them whatever early on. Make it a big deal when you call their name and they don't just ignore you or say, I'm busy. No, but train them that when you say their name and they come, you give them candy, you put them on your shoulder, you dance around and celebrate, and it's a jolly good fellow, until you train them that when you say their name throughout their life, they are tuned in. Because that's the way God does it. It's the way God does it with us. Growing up, I have four brothers, and three of us had one bedroom. And I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. Our parents' bedroom was just on the other side of the wall, and so they didn't like us talking at night. And so me and two older brothers, three of us in the room. And so we were talking, every now and then you hear the bang, 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 and that just meant stop talking, go to sleep. So, of course, you figure out ways to work around the system, you know. And so my brother, we got to the point where it was so good, if we wanted to talk, we had to talk real quiet. But to get my attention, my name being Steve, he could just go, "Shh." Can you hear that? Super quiet. And in a quiet room at night, you just hear that S-T. And I'd say, "What?" And then we would whisper talk back and forth. And we didn't get the bang on the wall. But to this day, my brother, who lives in Cannon City, we can be in a room, and if I hear a "st," it's like, "What?" Because names are powerful, and your name is powerful, and God knows your name. He cares about you by name. You're not just a part of the human race, or part of the, you're not a number, you're not just a, you know, a civilian in America. You are known by name. And everyone else's name, when he calls you by name, that means he is laser focused on you. And everyone else, laser focused. He's so personal. You're not just a soul, you're a son or a daughter of God. And he calls you by name. So Jesus said, "I am the gate for the sheep." The second point, Jesus is the only way into eternal life. So that's the obvious no-brainer. But if you look at this, this is a sheepfold. This is a Middle Eastern style sheepfold. It's a stone wall enclosure with one way in, one way out, and no door, because the shepherd is the door. The shepherd literally spends the night in the doorway after the sheep are brought in. That's the idea. He brings the sheep in for protection, and he sleeps in that doorway. And so that no sheep will get out, and no wolves can come in. He will know it. He'll be woken up. So he's the shepherd of the sheep, and he is the gate, literally the gate. And we know there's another place where Jesus says, "I am," he says, "No one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes in except through me." That's another "I am" we'll get into later. The Jewish culture, of course, understood this. This was very common, even to this day. Being in Israel, you can see stuff like this. You can see these sheepfolds on the hillsides, different places. And they understood what Jesus was saying. All others who come in by some other way are thieves and robbers, which leads me to my third point. All other gates or ways in are evil. And I'll just say evil, and I wrestled with like false, wrong. But the more I look at the scripture, it's clear they're evil. They are evil. They're wicked. It is a strong word, but Jesus says any who come in another way are thieves and robbers. And he talks about later, the thief comes only to do what? Three things: steal, kill, and destroy. Those describe evil. They're not just wrong, or that's just not an option. They're not a different way. All roads lead to the same God, right? No. Can I hear a baloney? Can I hear a poppycock? You guys are good. It's it's just not wrong. It is flat out evil. It's wicked to thieves and robbers have no place, no good intention at all. And then Jesus describes it further, steal, kill, and destroy. So the obvious alternate gates or roads, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism. We know there's a measure of goodness designed into them. And I'll just flat out say it, they are demonically inspired and created to appear to earn favor with God, but truly are meant to destroy, eternally destroy. And I know I won't be a lot of people's friends, and I say that in here, in this setting. I don't necessarily say it on the street with people who are in one of those gates. But it's clear, Jesus, and that's another one of the I ams. I am the way. So we're going to get into that another week. But even Judaism, of course, inspired by the one true God, the same God that we love and serve, Judaism, though, is incomplete. It's incomplete without Jesus. It's part of the story, but it's not the full story. It's not complete. Of course, the law of Moses was given by God, but Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, to complete it. It is part of it. The law of Moses was given to show us that we could never be good enough. We could never be righteous enough. We could never save ourselves. But we need Jesus, the Messiah, the Lamb who was slain, who takes away the sin of the world. And he came to fulfill it. So all these world religions are thieves and robbers designed to steal, kill, and destroy souls. Oh, but they've been around a long time. They must be legitimate. Well, how long? Let's look at the first. Islam has been around since the 7th century. We're in the 21st century now. So Islam was birthed 700 years after Jesus was born. Okay, well, that's the newest. That's the newbie on the scene. Besides, and I'm talking about big, major world religions. I'm not talking about all the Eastern, New Age, made-up stuff that everyone kind of makes up in the last few months, even. There's a lot of stuff out there. A lot of gates that are evil. Because Jesus is the only gate. Buddhism, how long has that been around? 6th century. It's only been around since the 6th century. Okay, that's older than the 7th century, but still not very long. How about Hinduism? There's the old one. Hinduism, 1500 BC. Wow, that's old. That was long before Jesus was born. But how about, I wonder about Judaism. Oh, 2000. Starts with Abraham, and you could even say goes to creation. It's not Judaism, but it's Judeo-Christian, the whole story of Jesus goes back to the Garden of Eden. So it's really more than 2,000 years B.C. And the reality is the story is still being played out because you know what? There's no promise given that Buddha will come again. Right? There's no promise that Krishna or Hindu or Muhammad is going to come again. But the day will come when the trumpet will sound and every eye will see coming in the clouds with the archangel and the heavenly host of angels, the conquering King of glory, King Jesus, will ride in. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Krishna, not anything else, not anyone else. As far as I know, there's no promise of these world religious leaders that are coming back. And it says the dead in Christ, not the dead in Muhammad, not the dead in Buddha, not the dead in Krishna or Eastern or Western or whatever religion will rise, but the dead in Christ will rise to meet him in the air. Are you going to be part of that meeting? In Christ, if you're in Christ, you will rise to the dead. The sea will give up its dead. In Christ, the earth will give up its dead, and the dead in Christ first will rise, and then we who are still alive will rise up to meet him in the air, and then he will take over. So Jesus, and of course, there's many other false gates. There's many other evil gates. There's the gate of being good, of going to church, of doing nice things for people. And that's more dangerous than the other world religions. Well, you know, I was born in America, so I'm a Christian, right? That's a false gate, being an American. You're not automatically going to heaven because you're born in this country or any Western country. It's because of Jesus. Amen. He's the only way. There's no goodness that we could do. There's nothing that we could ever do well enough, because we have sin that has to be dealt with. So every other gate is just flat out evil and false and demonically inspired to rob or distract people from the one true gate. Only Christ, only in Christ do we find forgiveness and abundant life and eternal life. So he's the only way. Number four, Jesus allows some in and keeps others out. He allows some in and keeps others out. You know, literally a door is a place where you came in and out of this building, but we can lock the doors and keep you all out. Bunch of riffraff. If we want it locked, we can lock it. And that's what Jesus is. He's the door that locks or unlocks. So he lets some in, but he determines who's in and who's not in. Mixed with our free will. And let me just think about this. Of course, he'll receive any who come to him. Any and everyone who will come to him, who wants to come to him. His arms are wide open to any who are repentant of their sin, who humble themselves, who put their faith and trust in Christ. But for those who refuse to humble themselves, for those who want to come in on their own merit, on their own conviction or their own wisdom or their own knowledge or their own will, and refuse to acknowledge Christ, refuse to surrender to Christ, refuse to humble themselves, Jesus will keep them far away from his eternal sheepfold. There won't be any wickedness in heaven. Not one sinful act in eternity in the new heaven and new earth. 1 Corinthians 6 verses 9 through 10 says, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God?" And the Bible gives lists of what they mean by that. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, and that's any sexual immorality, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Those describe the snakes and the wolves that try to get in some other way. But they won't be allowed in. Jesus won't let them in. He's the gate. He stands in the way to those who illegally are trying to get in. And then Revelation goes on and says, neither will the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters again, and all liars. And it goes on to say, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. And this is what I mean by, we like that, oh, Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus loves the little children of the world. It's like, yeah, that's true. But he doesn't love everyone's behavior. He's not okay with whatever people do in the world. Yes, he loves people. He loves all people. But he calls us to a certain way of life that walks according to his word. And he won't let sin in. He won't let sickness in. He won't let evil in or any form of wickedness. And he spells it out. There won't be violence in heaven. There won't be defiance. There won't be shaking fists at God. There won't be burning, looting, and murder. There will be a massive amount of people who love God, who are in one mind and one heart, who love God and love each other. There won't be, I joke about it because it's my opinion, there won't be locks on doors in heaven because there will be only trust because there's no thieves in heaven. There will be an openness and a humbleness and a willingness to share whatever. There won't be light bulbs in heaven because Jesus is the light. That's not scripture. But it's the idea that there will be perfection in heaven and not violence and destruction, no stealing, killing, and destroying. Because Jesus will keep it out. He won't let it in. That's what the story of chemo is. If there's a cancer, they destroy. The idea is to destroy every cancer cell. And if you leave one cell, it has the potential of taking root again and expanding and multiplying. And that's why it won't. They want to kill every single cell of cancer. And Jesus perfectly will not allow a single wicked person or deed into the eternal heaven. And it's like, well, wait, I'm guilty of a lot of those things that were the list. I'm guilty of a lot of that. I want to go back to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, that comes after 9 and 10 that I read before Revelation. It says, and that is what some of you were. Some of you were. And I'll keep it there, but some of you were sexually immoral. Some of you were idolaters. You worshiped things before God. Some of you were murderers and adulterers and prostitutes, and some of you were homosexual offenders and thieves and greedy and drunkards and slanderers and swindlers, cowardly, unbelieving. But then he goes on to say, and that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit and by the Spirit of God. Of our God, because of what Jesus did, and your faith in what Jesus did is the only gate in. It's the only way in. So Jesus won't allow any wickedness in, but he welcomes the wicked who humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and put their faith in him, and who willfully choose by God's grace, because he is the God of grace and mercy. And he's slow to anger and quick to forgive and abounding in love. Yeah. He's slow to anger, quick to forgive, and abounding in love. Can I get an amen? Amen. Toward the repentant, toward all those who turn. And the reality is, all those lists, we're guilty. It says if you've sinned in one area of the law, you're guilty of the whole law. And that was the whole point of the law of Moses, to help us understand that there is, in and of ourselves, we are hopeless to save ourselves. But Jesus said, I am the gate. Whoever comes through me will be saved. Amen. So I'm just going to finish with this story. I was trying to get a photo of my son and daughter-in-law, Gabriel and Georgina's wedding 6 years ago. Because they had it out of the land, the river land, out in the woods, beautiful setting, northeast farms side of town. And they had the idea to have a door. And Paul Schell had a gorgeous set of French double doors. And so he donated those doors to us, let us paint them white and glass doors there. And just a beautiful setting. And Gabe and I put the doors, we mounted these doors in the field. just in the grass with the beautiful trees all around. No fence, no nothing around, just the doors. You've seen it. Beautiful setting for a wedding. It's a very picturesque symbol of walking from one world into the next, being with marriage vows. And you guys get the idea. Hopefully I've painted the picture mentally. But it's just a great symbol of a walking into a new life, a life filled with new adventures, new companionship, new experiences, and with it, new responsibilities. But it's a wonderful thing to do. It's a wonderful image. And of course, they need to apply faith, and they're full of expectation, of hope, and joy, and love as the wedding party and the couple, one at a time, walks through this doorway that's in the middle of the woods. And Jesus is the door. Jesus is that same door. It's a perfect picture of Jesus who perfectly, perfectly opens the way in a supernatural, beautiful realm of walking in from one life and one world, walking into the new world, a new world of companionship, a new world of adventure, a new world of opportunity, a new world of expectation, a new world that has to be mixed by faith. You come in by faith. There's no walls there. You can't see it. You don't see Jesus as the gate. You just know you've been illuminated to the idea that Jesus is that way in. And it's a beautiful picture that is given to us to walk in by faith. To not just, you know, and marriage is awesome, but it's a picture of the perfect. That what is going to be perfect. No disappointment, no discouragement, no sickness, no death, no sin, no problems, no mortgage, no rusty cars, no getting fired, nothing bad, only good, as we walk into that perfect realm called the kingdom of God through Jesus. And that's just the door. That's not. The seven I am's talk more later about beyond that door. We're going to talk more about life in the realm of the kingdom of God. But you have to start by coming through Jesus. Have you come through Jesus? Anyone here come through Jesus? Believe in Jesus is the only way in. There is no other way. There's no other hope for any world person, anyone in the world. And Jesus is able to reveal himself to the Muslims, to the Buddhists, to the Hindus, to the everyone. And he is supernaturally revealing himself. And you won't see it on the evening news, but he is revealing himself worldwide to the major world religion followers. And it's exciting. We live in exciting times. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's stand up and close in prayer. Thank you, Lord. And I do invite you, if you've never, maybe when I said, anyone here happy that you've come through Jesus? If you didn't raise your hand, maybe you didn't raise it on purpose. Maybe you're not sure. Well, you can be sure before you walk out that set of double doors. You can know for sure, for certain, that you are known by name. I want to challenge you to put your faith in Christ. Trust Christ, because there's no other way. There's no other hope. And I don't care what age you are. Some of you kids in this room, put your trust in Jesus. He will never let you down. Amen. He will carry you through this life. There's no reason to be discouraged or to be in fear. He is only good and more powerful than anything in this world and anyone in this world. And he has only good thoughts and he has a good future for you. So put your trust in Jesus and tell someone about it today. Even if you've already trusted Jesus, tell someone about it today, because it's worth talking about. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for anyone in this room or anyone hearing my voice online that may not have put their trust in you. I pray that they would choose you right now as their Lord and Savior because of what you have done, not because of our goodness or any deeds that we could ever accomplish. Lord, I thank you that your grace is sufficient and you love those who turn to you, and you will never reject them, never cast them away. And I pray that they would tell someone about it today and devote their lives to learning more about you and living for you by your grace. Lord, I just thank you that you are the gate for all of us who have put our trust in you. And Lord, we know it's just the beginning, it's just the doorway. You are the only way in, but you're the way in to so much more. And I pray that we just celebrate that this morning. We're gonna celebrate more aspects about being in your kingdom. I just pray you'd bless each one. God, give us a hunger and a thirst for your word to understand and to have our minds illuminated. Lord, to in a fresh way come to understand the significance of who you claim to be, who you are, that you're the bread of life, you're the light of the world, and you're the gate for the sheep. Thank you, Lord, that you know us by name. And I just pray you'd bless the rest of this weekend as we celebrate. No Monday night prayer tomorrow night. God, as we celebrate this weekend, just bless our time. We pray in Jesus' name, and everybody said, Amen. 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 Have a great weekend, guys.